This is 1A. I'm Jen White. The Republican National Convention continues in Milwaukee.
If Donald Trump has shown us anything, it's that when it feels impossible to keep going, those are the times we must keep going.
That was Lara Trump, co-chair of the RNC and daughter-in-law of former President Trump, addressing attendees on Tuesday. After talking about the assassination attempt last weekend, she stressed the diversity and unity of those who could be found at rallies supporting the former president and GOP nominee. That unity was one theme. The other, yesterday's convention, Make America Safe Again. Joining us to discuss that and more from the RNC, as she has been for much of this week, is Laura Davison. She's politics editor at Bloomberg News. Laura, great to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
So how was that theme, Make America Safe Again, presented last evening?
So the theme really focused on a couple key issues. One, immigration and the U.S.-Mexico border. To crime in local communities. Speakers also frequently tied that to immigration, talking about migrants who are committing crime, which I will note, migrants do not commit crimes at higher rates than legal immigrants or U.S. citizens, as well as looking at fentanyl and opioids, which has been a long-standing bipartisan issue in Congress.
How did those issues come up distinctly, and where was their messaging that overlapped?
This was, this is the key campaign issue for Donald Trump. You know, this has been the immigration, migrants, and sort of the threat, as he talks about it, that, you know, there's a threat to Americans who are already here. So this is a thing you heard time and time again. What was interesting is that this is, not an issue that there has been much political will in Congress to get something done. You know, there was a bill, a bipartisan bill that came together earlier this year. Donald Trump effectively killed the bill. There were Republicans involved, and Trump said, no, we want to use this as an issue to run on in the 2024 election. And so that's where you see, the Republicans really rallying around this cry.
What specific policies were talked about last night?
Yeah, so it's things like mass deportations. What that looks like is not completely clear. Donald Trump and his team doesn't necessarily speak in specifics. They're talking about things like closing the U.S.-Mexico border. Again, that would have massive repercussions. And a lot of the, a lot of this can be done via executive order. If he were to be elected, the Republicans are talking about a massive shift to immigration policy, within days or months. If Trump is elected, that would, potentially mean stemming the flow of, where migrants are, what their legal status is, and potentially just, even people who are here waiting for asylum cases could immediately be sent back to their home countries.
So that's for immigration. What messaging or policy initiatives did you hear around addressing crime, with the understanding that violent crime, according to FBI statistics, has actually dropped in recent months? And that was another big message last night, that there's this, rising crime tide in the U.S. So what policy initiatives were they talking about there?
Yeah, they're talking about things like, stricter sentences. They're talking about, more police on the streets. They're talking about, more surveillance. It's interesting. Crime is an issue similar to the economy, where, the statistics show it's actually doing better, but people feel like it's worse. In the messaging, Republicans have really been able to capitalize on, some of those fears, both economic as well as about crime. And this has really, been a message they've been able to effectively use. One, crime in particular, there are not specific policy proposals that have come out. This is more of a state and local issue. But they realize that this is something that does motivate voters, particularly suburban women, which is an area where Trump is particularly weak.
Well, a competitor for this year's presidential nomination, former UN ambassador and winner of two GOP presidential primaries, Nikki Haley, spoke last night.
We agree on keeping America strong. We agree on keeping America safe. And we agree that Democrats have moved so far to the left that they're putting our freedoms in danger. I'm here tonight because we have a country to save. And a unified Republican Party is essential for saving her.
Now, we should note Nikki Haley has been a critic of President Trump during the primary season. We saw her critiquing some of the policy positions of other people in the race, saying these aren't practical ideas. First, explain a little bit about Nikki Haley's road to the RNC.
Yeah, so Nikki Haley was sort of the last standing primary opponent for Trump. You know, she stayed in until about March. That very much, you know, angered Trump. He wanted her to get out. He wanted to be able to solidify the nomination. But she was able to still kind of notch, you know, between 20% and 30% of voters. So not enough to win, but also it was a sign that wasn't a total backing in the Republican Party for Trump. When she did finally drop out, she didn't endorse him right away. She said, look, he needs to earn my support. She did come out in May and say, look, I'll be voting for Trump. But she was not invited to the convention. She even said just days before, the assassination attempt over the weekend, she said, look, I'm not going. And Donald Trump is allowed to have the convention he wants, essentially implying that, you know, that convention would not include her. After the shooting on Saturday, Trump did reach out to her and said, hey, look, we want to have a show of unity from within the party. Would you come and speak? And so that's how she ended up with that role. But she was not, it was not a full-throated endorsement of Trump on the stage. It was her saying, look, I understand, people who may not agree with 100% of what Donald Trump believes, but that doesn't mean you can't vote for him. So it was this very qualified endorsement that she gave.
And how was she received by the crowd?
And it was very mixed. There were certainly boos in the crowd, particularly when she came on stage. There were also some applause, I'll note. At the beginning, it was a little bit of this awkward tension. However, she did seem to win over the crowd by the end of her speech. But it was really, she was not necessarily a welcome figure there. She was not, other primary opponents, Vivek Ramaswamy, for example, also spoke last night. He had the crowd really roiled up. Ron DeSantis also spoke right after her. And we knew they were much more complimentary of Trump, much more, in his camp. She was, kind of creating a little bit of arm's distance between herself and the former president.
Well, there was some attention paid to the potential of a Kamala Harris presidency in last night's speeches. Here's a bit of what Nikki Haley had to say.
For more than a year, I said a vote for Joe Biden is a vote for President Kamala Harris. After seeing the debate, everyone knows it's true.
Laura, what did you take away from mentions of Vice President Kamala Harris?
So the Republicans have really ramped up their attacks on her in their rhetoric in recent days and weeks, since the debate, which raised some questions about, whether Joe Biden would continue in the race, and calls from within his own party to step aside for a younger candidate. Kamala Harris is seen as the most likely person who would do that if Biden were to step aside. And I'll note he has said he plans to be the nominee and plans to run. So you've seen a lot of attacks of focusing on her more. So people, because she is a woman, because she is a woman of color, some of these attacks are a lot harsher than they, do talk about Biden. They talk about her as if she's incompetent. They talk about her if she's, much more radical than Biden. And so that, in their policies, they are not actually that far apart in between her and Biden and what they believe. But the rhetoric makes her out to be much more like a boogeyman, much similar to how Nancy Pelosi was attacked for years when she was House Speaker.
We should mention that not everyone in the GOP is a fan of now VP nominee J.D. Vance or former President Trump. On X, former Wyoming Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney wrote, quote, J.D. Vance has pledged he would do what Mike Pence wouldn't, overturn an election and illegally seize power. He says the president can ignore the rulings of our courts. He would capitulate to Russia and sacrifice the freedom of our allies in Ukraine. The Trump GOP is no longer the party of Lincoln, Reagan, or the Constitution, end quote. So amidst this message about unity within the Republican Party, where do Republicans like Cheney fit into the political picture now?
They really don't have a role as a, either a figurehead rhetorically or professionally in the party. We didn't see people like Cheney, like Mitt Romney, some of these people who have, continued to, say they are Republicans but don't back Trump. There is no role for them in the party. And that's why you see people like Haley, who, is young. Clearly she has, ambitions, come out and decide that she needed to kiss the ring and, make this public show of loyalty to Trump. there really is not not space for people in the party. Last night was a clear example. You know, we saw from, you know, six or seven people who have run against Donald Trump, both in the 2016 and 2024 primaries. All of these former rivals have you know, now come and said, okay, look, this is the guy I want to be president, fallen into line. And that's the only way to have a political future.
So what do you expect to see today and tomorrow as the RNC continues?
So the theme of the day today is all about national security. So, you know, last night was about, you know, to kind of domestic security. This is about national security and the U.S. is standing in the world. Trump has a very different vision for what he wants of more isolationism, tariffs, and ending support to places like Ukraine. And the culminating speaker tonight will be J.D. Vance, his running mate, and this will be his sort of public debut to the country.
That's Laura Davison, politics editor at Bloomberg News. Laura, thanks for the update.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, Gen Z is becoming more interested in skilled trades rather than taking the route of a four-year college. What does the path of a tech school student look like? We'll have that next. This is 1A.